the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. And Lundy, we're usually offensive focused on this podcast. And as we are barreling toward the beginning of training camps, a couple of teams going to take the padlock off the gates next week, swing open the doors for business, and have the guys jump into the pool there and get ready and get their bodies prepared for the upcoming NFL season. We rarely go to the defensive side, but there are some individual defensive props that are out there. There's a smattering of people that play in IDP fantasy football league. So this is for you, the bone we're going to toss to you. Let's start off with Chase Young here. And the sacks prop available right now at DraftKings Sportsbook is 8.5 for this upcoming year. And Lundy, I'm smashing the over on this one. A guy was a former top pick of this Fighting Football's team. In his rookie season, he got down, he got dirty, my man. He had 40 total pressures. He had 6 sacks a season ago. But a guy that, really attacks the pocket, collapses it early and often in games. He's a beast in the making. And with the experience that he gained last season, Lundy, I think it's going to be a 9. I think it could be upwards of 10 or 11 sack season. Hell, wouldn't it be at all shocking if he led the league in sacks this year, though? Aaron Donald's going to be in that mix. TJ Watt as well. So Chase Young on that over on the 8.5 sacks line seems like a gift from the gambling gods. So I'm going to pound the over on it, -115. You disagree?
I don't disagree, but I want to point out to everybody that maybe was listening very quickly, or maybe you're in public transportation listening to this podcast and there's some noise in the background. He said sacks prop, people, sacks. I actually think double figures is easily attainable for him. You're right. I think he's going to be in the mix when it comes to leading the league in sacks. I actually think Watt's going to take down that title this year. If I were making a season-long prognostication. Young's going to be right there in this mix. He's got so much talent, and they're going to be in a situation, I think, this season where they can maybe kind of pin their ears back and go after it from a defensive standpoint. I think they're going to find themselves in games where they can take some chances, and that's going to be the benefit that they've got of having a better offense.
Yeah, he's going to be a sacks machine, Lundy. Is that what you wanted me to go with? Kind of connecting the two together?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Sometimes, I smell sacks and candy.
Wow. Going back to the 90s with a throwback. Well played there,
Marcy,
my man.
Playground for you there.
Yeah, that's a deep cut. Man, that was a huge radio hit, and then they kind of fell off. They were a true one-hit wonder, no doubt about it, unlike JB, who I referenced a second ago. All right, look, if you want to get in on that wage or anything else, you need to do so at your favorite sports book and stick around. We're going to have our Fade 5. Oh, let's do it right now. It's a Freaky Friday, after all. Pour me some tequila, and let's get down to it with another edition of said Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, Lundy, let's go ahead and focus more on some NFL futures and some of the player props that are out there. And, I guess it's going to be a musical theme today. We already referenced James Brown, Marcy's Playground, for crying out loud, pulling that one out of the deepest, darkest recesses of your keister. Let's go with a little Mellencamp here. It hurts so good. Come on, Jalen, make it hurt so good. And the prop on him, and again, this is one I already got up for vote, so submit your vote right now at Noisy Huevos on this particular player prop. Again, available, we're pulling this number from DraftKings Sportsbook. Also, if you want to submit a comment, do so, and I will review and read a couple of your 2 cents offerings at the end of this podcast. Jalen Hurts, 655.5 rush yards here, Lundy, and I am taking the over. Are you shocked? You shouldn't be, because I love the guy. I got a bit of a man crush on him at -115. You look at what he did last season in 4 starts for this Philadelphia Eagles team. He averaged 68 rush yards per game. So if you extrapolate that and carry the 1 plus, the minus, over a 17-game season, he was on a 1,156 rush yards pace. That's Lamar Jackson-esque. Mike Clay at ESPN's got Hurts projected for 681 yards. Jeff Ratcliffe of the Jeff Ratcliffe Show on SiriusXM Fantasy's got him projected for 702. And you look at what Hurts did. Again, over those four games, he had 13 runs of 10 or more yards on 63 attempts for six missed tackles and 106 yards after contact per attempt. I know what people are thinking. But, you know, Deshaun Watson, we'll see what materializes. There are a lot of rumors circulating about him. And if he gets off with a light sentence from the personal conduct violation with all of the nefarious acts that were tied to him this offseason, he could get dealt to the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll see. Could be suspended for the entire year or much of the year. Still, as it stands now, Hurts is going to be the man this season in the city of brotherly love. And given his ability to squat elephants in the weight room, I think he's going to be dragging tacklers to at least 656 yards and cashing this over. You disagree, fade or follow?
Well, this is just a matter of being the starter, right? I mean, if he stays out there, you know he's going to run around. He's going to scramble. He's going to pick up these yards as long as there's nobody either breathing over his neck or that he gets himself hurt and isn't out there. So this is one that not my favorite prop. I know he's one of your favorite players. Not my favorite prop of the ones that we've done. This is probably one that I would stay away from with my own wallet. But in terms of your pick, I like the logic behind it. So I will follow on this one, but I will keep my wallet safely tucked away from you, good sir.
Oh, it hurts so good. Come on, Jalen, now.
Number four.
All right, moving on to a player who's become a bit controversial in fantasy football circles, Lundy. People very divided over one Mike Davis, a man who's 28 years old. So long in the tooth in terms of a running back. He has bounced around. He saw some time in Seattle, briefly with Chicago Bears until Mandatory Montgomery took over. And, of course, last season with Carolina, he was thrust into the spotlight after Christian McCaffrey exited stage left with injury early on and was the primary ball carrier for the bulk of the 2020 campaign for that Panthers club. And I'm zeroing in on rush yards for him, and it's 800.5. And of course, I'm breaking out the, well, let's do another musical reference. Peter Gabriel style sledgehammer on the over at -110. I have one question, and this is not a rhetorical question. This is one with a very sound and logical answer, and that is, what is this competition? Who is it? Is it a UDFA in Javion Hawkins, who is 5'8 and probably 190 pounds dripping wet? Is it Kadri Allison, who's done absolutely nothing during his brief time in the NFL? Is it, you know, a wild card? Maybe somebody gets cut during roster cut downs in late August and then signs with this Atlanta team and maybe pushes Mike Davis. You know, maybe that latter scenario is a possibility, but right now as it stands, Lundy, there is no competition for Mike Davis. He is going to be the main man in an Atlanta Falcons offense that still has one of the best field stretchers in the league in Calvin Ridley. You add Kyle Pitts in the mix. Matt Ryan can still twirl it at his advanced age. The offensive line, you know, middle of the pack, a little bit suspect in terms of its run blocking efficiency. And, of course, the defense, very flimsy, which could lead to Davis being more of a pass catcher than a rusher. But still, all he's got to average is like 48 rush yards per game over a 17-game season to eclipse a very low bar of 800.5. Total yards, and I think he can certainly do that, especially after last year, which he led all running backs in missed tackle rate at 26.1% and was top 25 in total yards created and yak per attempt at 2.97. So for me, and looking at some of the prognosticators out there, they all agree, Davis, well over 800.5 rush yards. You disagree, fade or follow?
I will follow big time on this one. And again, it's because it's such a low number. My concern is exactly what you brought up, the potential for some negative game scripts, which then takes the ball off the ground, puts the ball into the air. And I think obviously that's going to hurt him with the rush totals. But when all you've got to average is just shy of 50 yards per game, this to me is too easy for him to be able to hit this number. So yeah, I'm all over this one. I think this is very much a way too low of a hurdle for him to be able to jump over. I mean, we've seen a handful of guys that can't get over the hurdle. This guy, piece of cake. This is an easy number for him to hit. I think he's at 875 or 900 by the time the season's done.
Put some respect on Mike Davis's damn name.
number three.
All right, let's move on and let's live in the land down under now, Lundy. Men, what was it? Men with hats? Men without hats? Men having hats? What was the name of that band? Men with hats? What, something like that in Australia. Whatever that is, man. I can't remember. There's men. They've got something on their head protecting them.
It's men at work.
Men at work. That's what it is. Men at work. I've had hats on the mind for some ungodly reason. Men at work. And if you're working, maybe in an environment where there's things flying around, you're going to have to wear a hat. So that's maybe why it was convoluted in my head. Anyway, I digress. Amari Cooper under 88.5 receptions for me at minus 115. Now, you look at what Cooper has done the last three seasons. 75 catches, 79 catches. He had 92 catches last year. And I think for that reason, this number is a bit ballooned. Look, I love me some Dak Prescott. I think he's got a great shot of winning MVP. Shop around and get it at 20-1 at some of the books right now. You look at Cooper last year, 130 targets, but he was wide receiver 45 in air yards percentage. And why I'm bearish on him is the fact that he may not be ready for the start of training camp due to offseason ankle surgery. They have been really progressing him along very slowly. It could be a sluggish start to the regular season for him as well. And as a result, I don't think he's going to get to 89 catches. I think he's going to be more in the high 70s where he was, again, 2 and 3 seasons ago. So give me the under. Amari Cooper, yes, cue the minute work. 88.5 catches, fade or follow.
I will follow on this one as well, but it's because you know my history, man. I'm just not an Amari Cooper guy. I never have been. I watch him play and I'm like, okay, every now and then I see it, but every now and then I'm left scratching my head wondering what's going on. So, I'm not going to follow on this number. I'm going to be way under. I'm not going to be over on this one at all, but I'm not a Cooper guy. There's also a lot of mouths to feed within that offense, moving the ball around. I think Cooper comes in underneath this number, checks in more like 79-80 by the time the season's done.
Stick around for our top plays and the restart. Finally, COVID be damned, of the Major League Baseball season.
Number two.
All right, Lundy, let's go to a hitter prop to get things queued up here. And I'm going to go to the Kansas City-Baltimore game. Keegan Aiken is on the bump. And here's what we know about Keegan Aiken. All he does is give up runs. 7.54 ERA this season and 11.39 ERA in his last five turns of the Baltimore rotation. That's a 21 and a third inning span. And he's given up 27 earned runs. And for those reasons, I'm all over Whit Merrifield of the Royals to score a run at minus 120. Yes, I realize that Merrifield, who was an all-star, over his last 15 games prior to the break, batting just 132 with one run over that 38 at-bat span. But he's hitting 281 against southpaws this season, which Aiken is. And he's got a 764 OPS against left-handed pitching as well. So I think he gets off the schneid, gets off to a hot start here in this second half. Whit Merrifield, he applies foot to plate minus 120. Let's cash a ticket, fade or follow.
I will follow, my friend. I like these run props, by the way. I think these are fun. Between the run props and the RBI props, those are two that a lot of times you can find that skewed plus number. You can get seduced by the juice, but you can take advantage of a matchup, which tonight is for Merrifield. So, yes, despite heading into the break with not exactly the shiny numbers that you would hope for, I think it's an opportunity to come out of the all-star pause and get right. This is a good run-scoring opportunity.
Oh, shiny, happy people holding hands. That's what we do when we bet on Whit Merrifield.
Number one.
All right, let's get a strikeout prop in here, and let's go to the New York Metropolitans traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Buccos, and I'm going to go on the over with Marcus Stroman, 3.5 strikeouts, juiced up a wee bit at minus 140, but I'm willing to pay up for that. Stroman just faced this Pirates lineup right before the All-Star break on July 10th. 5 innings pitch, 3 earned runs, and uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. That's Spanish for 5. That's how many strikeouts he had in that turn of the rotation. He's been over this number in 10 of his last 16 starts. Yeah, the Pirates, the third lowest strikeout rate over the last 30 days in all of Major League Baseball at 19.9%. But Stroman, right now on pace, has set a new career high in swinging strike percentage at 12.1. I think it's at least four strikeouts. It's kind of crazy that the number is this low for a guy that, you know, historically usually gets around 150, 160 Ks in a season. So fade or follow Marcus Stroman over 3.5 punch outs minus 140 in Pittsburgh.
Brad, I'm just happy to be having some live betting opportunities that don't involve ping pong. You know, I'm just happy to have baseball back.
Yeah.
I will follow on this one as well. This seems like a low number to me. I agree with you. I would have thought, okay, let's see a 4.5, something like that. 3.5, I feel like that's a threshold that he can get over. I'm not stressing this one too much. So let's jump on that one and make it a 5 for 5 follow on this Friday.
All right. That means we're all screwed as a result of that. So knowing that, we got to redeem ourselves in advance here, Lundy. Bird is time. What you got for me?
Let's take another strikeout prop, shall we? Let's take the under on Chris Bassitt for Oakland at home against Cleveland. He has only gone over that number twice since June 1st. That's 8 starts for him, and he has only cracked that 7 strikeout number twice. So I think he tucks underneath that one despite having those 10 wins. I think he can probably pick up potentially another win here, but I don't like him to get the strikeout total. Then how about some 24-hour bonus? Let's look ahead to Game 5 between the Suns and the Bucks tomorrow night. Give me CP3 over on 8.5 assists. Give me Devin Booker under 2.5 made threes. He did it in Game 2 of the series, but he only did it once against the Clippers. I feel like that 2 number is where he's locked in. And I will take the over on 10.5 PRA for P.J. Tucker, which he has done 3 out of the 4 games in the series so far.
I just had an epiphany. Men without hats, the safety dance.
There you go.
That was the reference I was trying to pull it in. I got to crisscross with minute work. You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. Because if they don't dance and if they won't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I've got a lot of friends, though, right now here in London. I will stop the singing. But maybe I'll frolic in medieval attire. That's there the video go. Is now in my head. We can dance. We can dance. All right. Let's do a 2-leg parlay, and hopefully we will be dancing on this one. Give me the Miami Marlins on the run line in Game 2 of their doubleheader against the Philadelphia Phillies. That's the Pablo Lopez game, and we know how hot he has been right now in Major League Baseball. I'm going to pair that with Bo Bichette to score a run. He said he loved the run prop, so here's another one against the Texas Rangers going up against Jordan Lyles in that game. So Miami on the +1.5, they end up covering that run line, and Bo Bichette does indeed cross the plate. It's +142. Bichette batting .333 against the Rangers this season. A couple of runs and just 12 at-bats, and Pablo Lopez, man, a guy that's just been putting up quality start after quality start. 2 earned runs or fewer in 15 of 19 turns in that Miami Marlins rotation. Elsewhere, Kevin Gausman, give me the under on 6.5 strikeouts against the St. Louis Cardinals. Yes, he had 8 punch-outs of the Redbirds on July 5th, and he has been over this number at 11 of 18 starts for the shockingly good San Francisco Giants, who you picked to win the division yesterday at long odds on the podcast. But St. Louis has the lowest strikeout rate of any team in Major League Baseball over the last 30 days. Second time seeing him here this month. I think they'll get the best of Gausman. I think it's 6 Ks or less. And then last one for me, and honestly, this one probably should have been in the Fade 5, probably my favorite bet on the board on today's Major League Baseball slate. Anytime you get an opportunity to fade Jose Urena of the Detroit Tigers, you take that opportunity and you grab the bull by the damn horns, Lundy, and that's what we're going to do. So give me the Twinkies -1.5 on the run line at +110 in Detroit. Again, they got to win by 2 runs or more to score you that W in this ticket. And this is also game 2 of a doubleheader today. So it's only a 7-inning affair. Kenta Maeda on the bump for this Minnesota team last time out on July 9th against Detroit. 5 innings pitched, no earned runs, 7 Ks. The other game in which he went up against Detroit, just 2 earned runs. So in 11 innings pitched, he's only getting up those 2 earned runs this season against this inferior Tigers club. And then, oh yes, there's the giver himself, Jose Urena. And his last 5 starts, Lundy, 17 2/3 innings pitched, 27 earned runs.
And in against Minnesota in 7 1/3 innings pitched this season, 7 earned runs, and Minnesota a perfect 5 for 5 on the run line this year against the Tigers. Oh, let's get some poll results before we get out of here. Again, today's topic, Jalen Hurts rush yards prop, over or under 655.5. 208 votes cast. Lundy, exactly down the middle, 50-50. Unbelievable. I think we've never had that before. So
that's a first, man. That's wild.
You know what that means? It's a well-priced line. Let's go ahead and get some of the comments in here. Jimmy Barnhart says, that is only 38.5 rushing yards per game over a 17-game season. Over his 4 starts, he averaged 68 rush yards per game, as I mentioned. I think the only way he doesn't go over is if he gets hurt or benched. Danny Fuego says, I'm smashing every single Jalen props over, baby. I love that guy. Gambling Dad says, I would take the under, but also won't be putting any bets on Eagles quarterbacks this season. Obviously, he's been burned in the past. And Evan Roberts, what about Deshaun Watson over 655.5 rush yards for Philly? Straight troll job there. And there you have it. We can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind. That is a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter. At Nate Luddy, follow me there, at Noisy Wavos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? And as always, until next time, feed or follow. That is up to you. Men at work. Damn it, get it right, Evans.
Feed the Noise.